Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our podcast helps carry on the legacy of the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history, Servant of God Father Emil Capon, who gave his life serving his men on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camps in Korea. Last week, Father Leach prepped us for the battle. Today is Ash Wednesday, and as Lent begins, we find ourselves on the front lines, but we are not alone. As we mentioned last week, we're pleased to have our brothers from Rekindle the Fire participating with us in this Lenten series, and we know we're stronger together. As we begin the battle, each of us must look at ourselves and make sure that we are ready. This is a very personal and sometimes lonely element of the battle, as we must be purified and seek to embrace our own identity. We're pleased to have Father Royce Gregerson join us from the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, to dive into this battle for our identity. Father is pastor of St. John the Evangelist Parish in Goshen, Indiana, and he holds a license in sacred theology from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. Father Royce will talk to us today about how Jesus Christ was tempted for 40 days in the desert and what we need to know about temptation in ourselves as we gear up for the next 40 days of Lent. Father Royce is a great homilist, and his weekly messages to his parishioners give them great perspective and resources to grow and nurture their faith. We're excited to have him set the stage for this battle, and we know he's going to give us extra courage to face it. Joe's going to lead us with a prayer, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Father Royce and Joe. Welcome, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. Welcome, friends, to the battle. I've been praying for you, praying for this moment, praying for you to persevere through the entire series, praying for you to access the tools you have to ensure victory, and for sure, praying for our holy conversation today with Father Royce. We've also enlisted the Nashville Dominicans to pray for you and your family each week of this series. So be at peace, friends, but be alert and vigilant. With that said, let us begin. Welcome to the Foxhole, Father Royce.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the call with me. I'm just going to jump right in. Father Royce, the upcoming gospel this Sunday from Mark 1 is, as Jason mentioned, is Jesus' temptation in the desert. I have a lot of questions about that right out of the box. Like, first, just what's it about? Why a desert? And then why would even God allow himself to be tempted?
Yeah, those are great questions. I think the first thing is what is the desert all about? For the ancient Israelites, the desert was a place of encounter with God. When we hear about the desert, you know, if you were somebody of Jesus' day, your mind would go back to the Exodus. And when the Hebrew people asked through Moses for Pharaoh to let them go, right, they first asked to be able to go a 3 days journey into the desert to worship God. So the desert is a place of encounter with God for them. And eventually they are let go. They have to cross through the Red Sea and then end up in a different desert, wandering around for 40 years. And of course, Jesus is 40 days in the desert. Fasting and praying are symbolic of the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the desert. So in some ways, Jesus is going into the desert to address really this question of identity that we're looking at today. He's calling the people of his own day back to their real identity, of being the children of God, pointing to those 40 years that they spent wandering in the desert.
So why would God allow himself into that temptation, Father Royce, do you think?
Yeah. So St. Paul tells us that Jesus is like us in all things except sin. And temptation is not sin. So Jesus wanted also to experience temptation. I think that kind of puts the lie to one of the devil's favorite tricks, which is to make us think just because we've already fallen into temptation that we're already guilty of sin. You know, we feel bad just for being tempted, and we think that means that we're weak and that we've already fallen, right? But Jesus, the fact that he went into the desert, that he experienced this temptation, shows us that temptation and moral guilt are not the same thing. Now, the fathers of the church tell us that which is assumed is not redeemed. So Jesus becomes fully human to fully redeem our humanity, and even to the point of experience and temptation. So he's also in solidarity with us, too. So we know that, you know, when we're tempted to sin, right, we know that Jesus has been there with us. He's been in solidarity with us, and he shows us the possibility of triumphing over that temptation with God's grace.
So let's talk about that temptation a little bit. How exactly, for those listening that are not yet at the Sunday where they'll hear this gospel, how did the devil attempt to attack the identity of Jesus? And maybe even from that, I'm sure your homily is going to be about it this coming Sunday. So how are we attacked in that same way by our identity, and in particular for men?
Yeah, that's a good question too. So, you know, we hear each year the three-year cycle of readings at Mass from the different Gospels. And so this year we're reading primarily from the Gospel of St. Mark. And Mark tends to give us kind of the abbreviated version of everything. So we don't really hear much about that temptation in today's Gospels from St. Mark. He just tells us that Jesus went into the desert and was tempted. But if we look at some of the other versions, we look at, you know, Matthew's account of the temptation of Jesus. We see three different temptations here. First, he's tempted to turn stones into bread after, you know, having fasted for 40 days, being really hungry. He's tempted to tempt God by casting himself off the parapet of the temple, and then he's tempted to fall down and worship Satan. So I think those three temptations correspond to three temptations that we all face. The first is materialism. The devil tempts, you know, Jesus to satisfy his physical hunger, and we are also tempted to put the material things of this world before our relationship with the Lord and before the people around us. So that materialism is something that we experience strong temptations towards. The second one, the lack of trust in the Lord, right? Thinking that, you know, God has to do something extraordinary and visible, and he's got to, you know, make lightning flashes or something to get our attention, right? But it really reveals a lack of trust in him. And then the third one, I think, probably connects most to this theme of identity, that the devil tempts Jesus to fall down and worship him, and so, you know, have all the kingdoms of the world be subject to him, right? And of course, this is a lie, right? Because, you know, while the world is in some sense subject to the power of the devil in this life until the final, you know, redemption of Christ is revealed, the final victory of Christ is revealed at the second coming, his power over the world is not absolute, and the world is not totally his to give. So, you know, the devil tempts us as well to forget our identity as sons of God, you know, tries to get us to think that we're dependent on him rather than on the Lord.
I know as a pastor, Father, you probably hear this a lot, and I know I do when I speak to men. There's this struggle in our lives where we're like, I don't know if it's the voice of God or the voice of the evil one, and I'm not sure I'm even worshiping at the right place. What are some practical ways that you've spoken into folks you've worked with on hearing and responding to the voice of God? Because I think there's always a deep fear amongst people, and men in particular, am I even following the correct voice?
Yeah, definitely. That's a struggle for all of us, and the discernment that needs to take place there. So I think the first thing there is having a habit of prayer. you know, if we don't have a regular habit of prayer, it's going to be a lot more confusing. And so in that habit of prayer, we need to incorporate silence to be a part of our prayer, because we will hear the Lord in silence. And so, you know, the rosary can be a great way of kind of starting that. The rosary is a great introduction to contemplative prayer by the way that it kind of combines words and silence and the kind of the contemplative spirit that comes in the repetition there. But we also need to cultivate silence outside of our prayer time as well. If our entire lives are filled with noise, constantly having some kind of soundtrack going in the background, then we actually go to our time, dedicated time of prayer. We're not going to, you know, be able to cultivate that spirit of silence there either. So then, in terms of, you know, discerning, you know, what's God's voice, what's the voice of the evil one, or what just comes, you know, from me, from my own particular desires, the first thing that's most important is to be in a state of grace. If we're not in a state of grace, if we're not, you know, going to confession on a regular basis, then we're not going to be able to, you know, hear the Lord's voice distinctly. So we have to be in a state of grace. We have to be taking advantage of sacrament of confession on a regular basis to clear out, you know, all that extra noise. Then, you know, if we are in a state of grace, we can listen to the desires of our heart. And we can, you know, trust those, begin to test those. The first kind of testing question would be, is what we desire a good thing? Looking at the scriptures, the moral law, the teachings of the church, is this thing that I think I desire, is it a good thing? Is it something that's good for me and good for the people around me? And then, you know, as we are considering different things, we consider their kind of effects on us in times of prayer. So if I'm thinking I might be called to something, but every time I think about it, every time I bring it before the Lord in prayer, I just have a sense of tension and anxiety and worry, right? That's probably not from the Lord, right? But if we are testing what could be a good and holy desire, and the thought of that, even though if we see like there's going to be real difficulties in making this happen, you know, that brings me a sense of peace, even in the midst of foreseeing, you know, practical difficulties, that could be a really good sign that it's from the Lord. And then also, you know, people around us, you know, having good friendships and brotherhood with others who are also in this battle, getting their opinion about, you know, what we're thinking about, and the trusted spiritual advisor, confessor, spiritual director, you know, all these different resources can be helpful as well.
I think there's a lot of perspective in this, Father. I think when we look forward and try to see the voice of God, I want to take you to another direction for a second. And I know years ago I did this spiritual autobiography, and I had never done it, and I never really sat down and looked backwards at all the places that God had spoken into my life. I mean, I've been present, and it really was a game changer. Like, it just made, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe God was that present in that many moments. As we walk into this battle for identity, how can listeners use the practice of spiritual autobiography maybe to discover more about their identity, and maybe even to see the spaces that God was speaking that they didn't even know? How would you encourage folks to do that?
Yeah, so I think this would be a great practice for all of us to have to do. I remember I did something similar when I first applied for seminary. And that it could probably sound intimidating, you know, having to look over your whole life and put that down. You think, like, I would never have time for that. But maybe, you know, one way to begin incorporating that would be at the end of each day to kind of, you know, mentally compose a little spiritual autobiography of each day. You know, something related to the beautiful traditional practice of the examine prayer, part of the spirituality of St. Ignatius of Loyola, making an examination of conscience at the end of our day, recognizing our own failings and recognizing, you know, the many ways that the Lord has been with us in that day. And so we can give him thanks for those good things as well. So, you know, just if it seems intimidating to try to compose, you know, a spiritual autobiography of your entire life, just start with each day at the end of each day. And that's going to help us to identify what the Lord is doing each day as well. It also makes the sacrament of confession a lot more fruitful. A lot of times it happens to me that someone will come to confession and maybe they haven't been in a long time, and they can only think of a couple things because they're kind of out of the habit, you know. But if we're in the habit of regularly, you know, examining our lives, we begin to see so many more ways that the Lord is inviting us to grow, and so many ways that He also has been there with us along the way. If we're used to kind of going over our lives, examining our consciences, examining the Lord's work in our life every day, I think that's the ideal prayer for the end of the day.
Father Royce, I'm sitting here just thinking, I can't wait for the end of the day to do that, but I think I need to be more intentional in my own personal life. There are a lot of men listening from Capon's Men, you know, the Diocese of Wichita, and Rekindle the Fire, and this current moment. And I think clearly the call to a good confession during Lent is important. What about just, I presume you have some brotherhood with your brother priests. How would you encourage guys in your parish, and even they're on this call now, to link up with other guys, and maybe a couple ways they can be in this practice of walking together? You know, Father Capon was big on accompaniment, and I really think it's the secret sauce of evangelization. How would you encourage men, maybe one or two things you can think of that could kind of bring them together as they hear this call today?
I think one of the things we really need in those kind of relationships is not to be afraid of talking about deep things. You know, it's easy for us to get together with, you know, friends that we know share our faith in the Lord, but to still have conversations that, you know, could be between any two people out in the world, you know. And certainly, you know, it's good for us to share common interests and hobbies and talk about our favorite football team and all that kind of stuff too, and just kind of build that layer, that kind of level of trust there. But we need to not be afraid to take it to a deeper level too, and to be that first person who's willing to open up and really share what's going on in your life, and asking your brother for his prayers and his support. And so, you know, a lot of times we need to be, you know, willing to go to that deeper level. I think that's, we just got to be willing to be the first ones to really do that and to set that example, to show that deeper trust that exists there. And I think you'll be amazed at, you know, what your brothers have to share as well, and the kind of liberating power of that experience.
Yeah, I totally would agree with that. And I think the way the evil one works on us is to divide us and put us alone, and we lose our identity, and we lose, and as you said several times in this podcast already, the identity as a son of God, as a beloved son of God even. So this week, Father, we're going to challenge the men to spend some time in silence and to really discover their why. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they getting up every day and praying? Why are they, you know, getting up on Sunday? And I think this is important, and I would presume you would agree. And how can you, it's scary for people to enter into the silence you referred to enter into the quiet. How can we set them up for some success as they enter the silence this week and dig in on why they're doing it, and their why in particular for being in this battle, and for entering the battle for their families and for their marriages and, you know, all the above, and for their church?
One of the things that makes prayer, and especially kind of pursuing a deeper contemplative prayer, difficult is that we can oftentimes feel very much alone in that. So I think it's important for us to remember that if we are seeking to go into the desert like Jesus did, we are never doing that on our own. We are doing that precisely to draw closer to Him. And so, you know, if I'm going over to, you know, a good friend's house to spend some time with him, on my way there, I'm not thinking like, oh man, what am I going to talk about? Like, what are we going to do? Like, you know, most of the time, if I'm going to hang out with my friends, I don't even have an agenda. It's like, we're just going to, who knows what'll happen? Like, you know, if something'll happen, it'll be great. And, you know, I think similarly about our time with the Lord is that we don't, we shouldn't be apprehensive, as we so often are about dedicating time to prayer, that, you know, we're going to be there with Jesus. And that's going to be the most important part. But also sometimes, yeah, we, you know, go into important conversations knowing that there are, you know, maybe some serious things that we're going to need to talk about. And this is probably one of those. But, you know, that's okay. So it's a part of friendship is it develops and it grows. So hopefully this can be a time of real discovery, and a time of discovering our mission. Jesus went into the desert to prepare for his mission of preaching repentance and bringing eternal life to those who had been lost. So we're inviting people this week to go into the desert to discover and be strengthened for their mission as well.
For sure. I mean, folks that live without a mission sometimes just tend to float from thing to thing and just go wherever the moment takes them. I want to just tell you, Father Royce, one, we're honored that you came on the podcast. We're honored that the men of Rekindle have joined Cape and's Men for this journey, this journey of Lent. And I want you to be fully aware that I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for your parish and for the ministry that you're doing. And I just want to ask you, Father, if you can close us down with prayer at the back end of your prayer. Scott will come in. But again, thank you for coming on. Thanks for sharing some of your heart with us, and close us with prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mission that you have entrusted to us to be your disciples and to make disciples of all nations. Pray that you will be with all of us during this sacred time of Lent. Help it to be a time when we can discover our true identity as your son, and give us the strength to carry out the mission that you've entrusted to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Many thanks, Father Royce, for reminding us of our identity, and also reminding us that Jesus, our leader and commander in the faith, is with us in this battle. Even though we don't see him, he hasn't left us out here in the foxhole alone. No, he is our head, and we are his body. So wherever we are, he is as well. And just as he was led out into the desert by the Holy Spirit for 40 days and experienced temptation for our sake, so too we are called to do battle with our poor habits and the temptations of the evil one this Lent. The opening prayer for Mass on Ash Wednesday is the perfect reminder of this, and it's a great way of getting ourselves ready for this battle. It says, "Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint." See, the devil wants us to think that if things are hard, then we're doing something wrong. He wants us to think that we need to make our lives as easy as possible for us to be happy. In short, he wants us to abandon the battlefield. But true peace and freedom come from discipline and from grace. They come from engaging in the spiritual fight. Joe said that the challenge this week is to consider our why. Our why is our purpose, the thing that motivates us in this battle. Without a clear understanding of their purpose, soldiers often lose the will to fight and can easily be overcome by a more determined enemy. As Christians, our enemy is very determined, so we have to continually motivate ourselves to fan our why into a flame so that we can persevere in our mission, which is really the only one there is, to become saints. So the challenge then is to take some time, 30 minutes to an hour, to really nail down the reason we want to improve this Lent. Maybe it's our family, to love your wife or your children better. Maybe it's so that you can be a better witness to Christ in the world. Maybe it's to reclaim your identity as a son of God. Whatever it is, take some time with Jesus to pray and get this clear in your mind. Be specific, and then write it down, and write it somewhere that you'll see it and be reminded and inspired as you go through this Lenten journey. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert focusing on his why, preparing for his mission of salvation. Let's take some time this week to discover or rediscover our why, and so be strengthened for our own battle this Lent and beyond. And as we continue to move forward on this journey, remember that part of our daily practices is to say the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel each day, both for yourself, but also for the men participating in this battle with you. St. Michael will help us to find our identity in God and to stay rooted in that identity. And if you know of another brother journeying through the battle, reach out and connect with him. As we all heard Joe and Father Royce talk about, we need to have the courage to walk with our brothers on a deeper level, and connecting over the battle is a perfect way to start. Next week is another big week as we focus on the battle for marriage. Father Daniel Scheidt from the Diocese of Fort Wayne South Bend will be leading us in this fight, and he will help us examine the beautiful calling of marriage, but also give us some very practical tips to help us live it out as God intended. Let's get this week off to a good start so that we'll be ready for next week's most noble fight. Until then, stay humble and stay courageous. Servant of God, Emil Capon, pray for us. Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.